Prayer request tonight, if you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes. Lauren Yance is sick, needs a touch from the Lord tonight. We just pray that the Lord would give her her healing. I want to pray for her. This is Sister Sherry Wiggins, sends us in to please pray for her father, Arthur Bruce. He will be having surgery in the morning, hernia surgery. Also, please pray for her daughter, Kimberly. She is home tonight, not feeling well. Thank you for your prayer. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Anna Altland says to please remember her mother, Dolores, who is having surgery for cancer. Let's remember that need as we pray. Catherine Buckner has been told that she has very little time left to live. Cancer has attacked her lungs. The devil is raging against her. Please pray that she gets the assurance of the Holy Ghost and His healing power. She has a husband and a 10-year-old daughter that needs her to live. Just please continue to pray that the will of the Lord would be done. So we just commit her under the hands of the Lord, won't we? Amen. I want to pray for Bambi and Leah Lawson. They went for a walk today and encountered a mad, mad pack of yellow jackets and received several stings. So they're not feeling the best in the world tonight. So pray for them. Brother Gary has a special unspoken prayer request. We'll commit that unto the Lord. Matt Garrett, suffering from a severe kidney stone attack. They're asking that we would remember him tonight in prayer. Brother Randy and Sister Rachel Scott sends this in to please pray for a friend of ours. Her name is Heather. She's been having some severe medical issues, and the doctors have not been able to find out exactly what's wrong or how to treat her. She's only 40 years old, and although she and her husband are not believers, we're hoping that through all of this we can be a witness to them, that they can come to know the Lord. So remember that need tonight as we pray. And then we have an unspoken prayer request for Chloe and Lane Ball. Let's pray for those folks tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something on your heart you'd like for this group to pray about, sing that second verse for me, Brother Harry, just before we pray tonight. Let's sing, "We Go to the Rock." Aren't you glad you got a place to go to? A place that you can put your feet, knowing that you're standing on solid ground. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Say it, buddy.
Where do I hide till the storms have all passed over? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow bring? Is there a refuge in this time of tribulation when my soul needs consolation?
Oh, yes.
I go.
comes, we just run to the rock. When troubles come, Lord, there's nowhere else to turn. We turn to the rock. Lord, there's nothing like You. Nothing is stable. Nothing is secure as Your Word. Lord, You see the needs that's been brought before this congregation, Lord. We believe for every one of them tonight. Lord, we ask that You would move upon each one, and may Your will be done in each and every one of these needs, Father. We ask, Father, that Your hand would move. And Lord, by the prayer of Your children tonight, Lord, I know there's many that's been gathered this evening, and our faith, may it reach up beyond this building. Lord, may it reach to those needs tonight, Father, as we reach to grab the hem of Your garment. Lord, may faith, I pray, may it come on the scene, and may the power of God move upon every life, every heart. Lord, we rebuke the cancer. We rebuke the sickness. We call upon the great rock. May You come, Lord, crush the enemy beneath our feet. May You get it tonight, I pray in Jesus' name.
Verse for me again, Betty.
Where do I hide?
Ushers, if you'll come this time.
Till the storms have all passed over, where do I run to? When the winds of sorrow fret, is there a refuge in these times of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation.
Hallelujah.
Go. Stand by me.
Oh, the earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ, that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain. The mountain stands by me.
The earth all around me is sinking sand, but on the rise, the solid rock I stand.
When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. When I need a shelter,
when I need a friend, I can go.
Oh yes, we can.
The rock.
Yes, we can.
The rock of revelation.
Oh yes, we can.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Hallelujah! Give Him a big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Praise be unto the name of the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Isn't God good to us? Isn't God wonderful to us? Oh, we love Him so much. Let's sing a song tonight. There's no one greater than Jesus, Brother Harry. You believe that with all your heart tonight? You may know some great people in this world, but there's nobody greater than Jesus. And there's nobody can do for you what He done for you. He picked you up, and He made a new man and a new woman out of you. You love Him with all your heart tonight. Give Him one more hand clap of praise. There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sing that chorus again. No, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus.
So
yes, we were.
My life was so. no peace, peace within.
No peace within.
Chains could not hold me.
Oh, yes.
Confused, so lonely. So I was shackled sin. Other side of the sea, his eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me.
Oh, blessed be the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to try to work in a couple of specials. You're just singing so good. Certainly appreciate your contribution to the song service. Praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. God is so good to us. Brother Eric's got us a song, if you'll come at this time. Brother Eric Johnson's got us a song. Then Brother Brandon, I believe he's already up here. Brother Brandon will give us a song. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. So let's just enjoy our songs, and then we'll change the order of the service tonight. Appreciate Brother Eric, don't we? Give him a nice hand as he comes tonight.
Out of your hands, you've done all you can do. You've given God the problem, it's no longer up to you. You prayed the prayer of faith, and you're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations beyond not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust His word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. Look at all He's done. Out of all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations beyond not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Are there situations He's not the master of? Is anything too hard?
Man, I believe we know the answer to that question, don't we? Nothing's too hard for my God. Hallelujah. It starts out in E minor. forsaken. I was shattered by the fall, broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's courts, lifted by the Savior and cradled in His arms. I was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong. Carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I'm carried to the table. Oh, the table of the Lord. Fighting thoughts of fear, wondering why He called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? This world has left me lame. Well, even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. And in His holy presence, I am healed and unashamed. As I'm carried to the table, thank you, Jesus. Seated where I don't belong, I'm carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I'm carried to the table. Oh, the table of my Lord. You carried me, my God. You carried me. 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 As I'm carried to the table, seated where I don't belong, I'm carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, oh, I'm carried to the table. The table of the Lord. Can you sing it with me? As I'm carried to the table, seated where I don't belong, we're carried to the table. Yes, we are, Lord. Swept away by Your love. and we don't see our brokenness anymore. When we're seated at the table of our Lord, we're carried to the table. Oh, the table of our Lord. Carried to the table. The table of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate our songs tonight, don't we? Amen. Let's stand tonight as we're going to get ready to be carried to a table right now, just in a minute. Feast of the Lord. Come and dine, little children. Come and dine. All of our visitors, if you're still here with us tonight, and many of you are, we certainly want to say that we have been honored to have you. Certainly glad to have all of you still here with us. And well, we're just liable to fill out adoption papers on you any minute. So you come back and see us. Give our visitors a nice hand tonight. God bless you. All of you. Praise the Lord. You know, at the end of the day, when everything's said and done, I still need His mercy and His grace. Let's sing a little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. I'm amazed that He could love somebody like me. Are you amazed? I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed.
Grateful we are to be washed and loose from our sins. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Boy, we could say amen and go home and say it's been good to be in church. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now notice what follows this. And I saw thrones. Thrones, plural. And they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Glory. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years has expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. Notice now, the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now let me read this to you, but read last Wednesday. Some glorious day, though, we'll cross the border and we'll sit down at your table. We'll look across at one another, tears rolling down our cheeks from the great fights. We see many of the old veterans that's fought along the battle. We'll shake hands with each other and cry a little, and the king will come out and wipe all the tears out of our eyes and say, don't cry no more now. The battle's over. You're home. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's the day I'm working for, Lord. That's the day we struggle for. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Lord, for such a wonderful promise that lays before us. Lord, this is not a dream or a fairy tale. It's not a fictitious story that's been brought by someone with something wrong in their mind. But it's been written by you, prophesied in so many different ways and told in so many different ways. It's left us without a shadow of a doubt that it is the truth. How we long for it, Lord. We desire, dear God, to be faithful to you, Lord Jesus. And we sat at that table that day, Lord God, and you walk out and wipe those tears from our eyes. Help us, Lord Jesus. Give us strength, I pray. Feed us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated, friends. So love you tonight. Appreciate you. I want to use this statement from this quote again. And the battle's over your home. You know, when you look at our home is a little bit different than other mortals that live on the earth. Actually, our soul comes from heaven. Our body comes from the earth. So home will be revealed in three stages following the rapture. Home is, all of us know that you may live at a certain spot and you call it home. Maybe you're building a home and you rent an apartment or a house or a condo or something like that, and you're renting that while you're building your home, and you say, well, let's go home after church and we'll go home. But that's not the home you're building. You're there until you build your home, but yet you call it home. And then when you build the other home, you say, you know what? We may build another one because we might be able to make a little bit of money off of this one, and you'll call it home, but yet you're still building another home. So when you look at the bride, the elect of God, her home is actually revealed from the point of the rapture in three different stages. All three stages are home. The rapture will put us at the marriage supper, what we just got through talking about. And that will be our home. We will sit there, we will greet one another, we will greet the Lord Jesus, and that will be our home. But it will only be our home for about 3.5 years. Then, at the end of that, while the tribulation is going on the earth, then what we read here tonight, we'll move into that cycle, and then our home will move again. Then we will move from there, and we will come back down on the earth in the millennium, which will then become our new home. Then we will live in this home for 1,000 years. Then at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed. Gog and Magog, gather them all over the earth. And then the bride, of course, will be lifted up off of the earth while this is going on. And then we will move again to our newest and final home, which will be the final stage of our home. Because the earth in the millennium is actually still under sanctification, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So it is not fitting to be your last and final home, but it will be your home until your home is finished. The marriage supper will be your home until the millennium transpires. Now, in between the time of the rapture, when we're there enjoying the blessings of God and the paradise of God, while all hell is breaking loose on the earth, and I really ain't going to give it too much of our time because I don't plan on being here. I hope none of you will be here either. But during the tribulation period, we kind of know some of the things that's going to happen and going to transpire. But something must happen before the millennium actually breaks. And that is at the end of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and before the consummation of the ages will totally end up, then there must be something that will happen. Now, Satan's got to be cast into this prison here, but before this can happen, something must transpire. And it is called, of course, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, let's read a few scriptures, if you would, in Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now remember, Jesus will be there in the presence of his bride, but he will slip down from the table and he will make himself known to his Jewish brothers. Now all the nations will turn against Israel as a whole. And we see basically they're all pretty much against her already. And the church said, I'm sure you've already seen the YouTube or the Democratic Convention. They left Jerusalem out of their policy and left God out of their policy. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. It don't make no difference to me. I want to stand for truth. Amen. So when they got ready to present it all back in and they needed all, you know, all the votes. How many have seen that on YouTube? Well, if you ain't, you need to see it. It's absolutely amazing. When they present it before the delegates of the Democratic Convention, how many wants to put God back in on the platform? And people say, yay, and all those. Well, how many opposed it? There was more opposed it than was for it. Then the man doing it says, let me do that again. How many is for it? Yeah. How many is against it? More against it. He says, let me do that again. Y'all ain't seen this. Y'all better wake up. Y'all better wake up. We're in the end time. Now this wasn't two or three people. It's thousands of people in the Democratic Convention in Charlotte. They left God out of their platform, and the Republicans and all the rest of them said, it's not right, not right. So they said, we better fix this. We better fix this. Left Jerusalem out of their platform. And the majority of the delegates said no, so they do it the third time, and still they say no. And the man said, well, two-thirds is passed, it's all passed. If I had been a Democrat, I ain't neither one, but if I had been, I'd have got up and walked out. Now, already it was in their platform to remove Jerusalem from the capital of Israel. All right now, my, y'all got quiet on me all of a sudden. Now, you see, friend, that whenever we as a nation, as long as we stand with them, God will bless us and God will be with us. The rest of the nations of the world, by the effect of Islam, they can make all kinds of films about Jesus and say all kinds of things about Jesus, you know, but you don't hear nobody killing nobody but them bunch of idiots, them bunch of extremists that they say there's only four or five million maybe. But yet we're to squelch our rights and all that for them. You can do whatever you want to. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to preach against it. It's absolutely of the devil. Amen. It's exactly right. It's of the devil. But you see where the majority of the world is gone. You probably heard of what's his name speech yesterday at the UN that they will annihilate Israel. They will knock her off the mat, do all that sort of thing. But you know what? All they may do it. There's got to be a move that will rally them, but they will be surprised when the king steps out on the mountain that day. Glory. But they must rise a move that will come against Israel, and eventually, whether under our current president or the next one to be or whoever, they will eventually turn against Israel. They must do it. Right. All nations will turn against them. Jesus will slip down, make himself known, and then this event will transpire. And when they do, then they're going to gather together in this great valley of Megiddo. It's going to be called the Battle of Armageddon. Right. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Revelation 17:12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. Now are these people nuts or what? Can you imagine these people are going to be so under the influence of the devil? These world leaders, these Catholics, these Protestants, this Islam, you know, whoever they are, and they will be under such a delusion that they will actually attack the Lamb. Oh my. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. So he's not only the Lord, he is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He has a kingdom of kings and a kingdom of priests and a kingdom of his saints. Glory. Notice now, he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they. Isn't this amazing that Jesus doesn't feel jealous? He doesn't mind. He wants to be bragged on. Then he anoints John and said, go ahead and brag on my wife too. Go ahead and tell what she is. You've told them what I am. I'm the Lord of lords and I'm the King of kings. Now tell them what my wife is. Glory to God. Tell them what my wife is. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Glory to God. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And I might add, ready to fight. Now watch Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called. Oh, no wonder she's faithful. He's Mr. Faithful and she's Miss Faithful. He was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were a flame of fire. Now I want you to notice, he's coming directly from the wedding supper. What a way for a man to get up from the wedding supper, and he leaves the wedding supper. Can you imagine how we leave the wedding supper after all this crying and all this rejoicing and all this sitting at the table of the king, and we get up directly and we don't get in the car and go to Gatlinburg. We don't get in the car and go to the airport and fly to Honolulu or somewhere, but we get in, oh glory, we get in that anointing of the Holy Ghost and we're ready to make war. Oh my. Who ever heard of leaving a wedding table? My, I know a lot of married couples that left the married table and made war. But we're not making war with one another. We're making war against the devil. Boy, we're going to have a mindset change, aren't we? To leave all this crying and all this weeping. And you know, don't cry no more. And not all of a sudden he's getting us ready on bed. He says, children, you know where we need to go, don't you? Are you all ready? Are you already, children? We've got to go down and take over. Are you ready, my wife? Are you ready, my sweetheart? Are you ready to go down? We're going to go down and take over. Brother Donnie, why do we need to do that? Would you want to have a honeymoon on this earth with the devil around? This happens to be the place that the honeymoon is planned for. And the devil, and there's a bunch of his people going to be on it at the present time. So we got a clean house before we can have honeymoon. What glory! Notice this. His eyes were a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Wonder where he got them. I'll tell you where he got them. From you.
This is the first time, so glory to God. This is the first time John sees him this way, Brother Dale. Why? It's now after the marriage supper. His bride has crowned him king. Glory to God, his bride has crowned him. And now John sees him as he unfolds himself. He is now risen from the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he comes crowned with many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called. Now his name was not the Word of God, but his name was called the Logos of God. Now notice this, not Rhema. You understand, those who don't walk by Rhema, they will live under the judgment of Logos. Now many of these people, the Catholics and the Protestants, were Logos readers. They were Logos studiers. They were Logos theologians, Logos preachers. Many of them were. And he comes what? To meet them with the very thing they say they believed, the Logos. But why ain't the bride there? Because the bride not only receives Logos, she receives Rhema. There is no Rhema believer here in this battle, my brother. There is no Rhema believers on the wrong side. All Rhema believers are on the right side because they have the Holy Ghost. Now watch, verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven. What a strange, peculiar way to end a wedding supper. So we put on our fighting garments. And we're classified in ranks. And classified in armies, plural. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Clothed in fine linen. Glory to God. Remember what we looked at last Wednesday night, that you're going to be sitting out of them battle scars? You're the kind of people he wants with him. Oh, glory. He don't want a bunch of these yellow moss back folks that are this, you know, until the press comes and the press comes, they compromise and oh, no. He don't want nobody like that. I'll tell you one thing. If I ever get in a fight with an alley, it was some, a bunch of gang, I want somebody to stand by my side that I know will stand right there with you. I wouldn't want a coward to turn and run. Brother, I'll tell you, Jesus is fixing to meet the devil, and you know who he wants with him? His bride. Oh, glory. He don't ask for angels. He don't ask for chariots. He don't ask for seraphim, but he asks for the most faithful group that has ever lived down through time, and that is the elect of God. Because he knows she won't run. He knows she'll stand firm. Praise the Lord Jesus. So they get up from the table. And he says, all right, children, just a little delay here in going into the honeymoon. There's just a few million people down there that we need to eliminate. Bunch of demons, Satan himself. Won't take us long, though. We'll have it all cleaned up. Because I know how you all love your home. I know how you all love your home, and I know that the honeymoon, any of y'all know what the word honeymoon means? Any of you know where it comes from? No, I didn't either until I got to looking at it. It's an ancient, ancient word that comes from the Norse, N-O-R-S-E. It was that the bride and the groom were given a month, 30 days, of honey beer. Beer made from honey. And they were to be alone for this period of time and the cycle of the moon. So they called it honey moon. So we've been sitting up at the table. We're not drinking honey beer, but Jesus said, I won't drink no fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, glory to God. So we've been sitting up there. The moon has been married to the sun. And we're fixing to go down, amen, and take our honeymoon on the earth. But we've got to take it over from the devil. Jesus could have left us in heaven and said, now, y'all just stay here, just sit and relax, talk, fellowship. And I'll go down, me and the angels, me and Gabriel, we'll go down and, you know, Wormwood and all the rest of us, we'll go down and take care of it all. But he said, you know what? I kind of believe my wife would like to be with me on this. Oh, glory to God. I kind of believe since she's fought against a bunch of them devils. I kind of believe since she's wrestled against Satan himself. I believe there would be something special to her to be able to go down there, hallelujah, and take her earth away from the devil. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because after all, this is my home. So instead of making me stay there, he said, come on, Donnie. You want to go? Yes, sir, I want to go. Said up here in heaven while this is going on, not me. Buddy, I'm jumping on the back of my horse. I don't care if it's spiritual, natural, whatever. I don't care. I'm coming. If I've got to walk, if I'm hitchhiking, don't you start fighting till I get here. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed and fine linen, white and clean. What kind of a battle is this going to be when the soldiers are dressed in white? Believe it or not, that's what saints fight in right now. Righteousness. Glory to God. We fight in righteousness. What is the crime of fine linen, clean and white? It is the righteousness of the saints. What, Jesus, don't we need a helmet? Don't we need a sword? Don't we need, you know, something? No, leave your marriage garments on. Because it won't be a few minutes and the honeymoon will begin. Who ever heard of a bride fighting with her gown on? Who ever heard of the bride fighting with her marriage garments on? And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love the way Brother Ben deals with this in the fourth seal. He said, now watch. He gathers from the four corners of the earth. They're gathering now for the showdown. The showdown will be at Armageddon, according to the word. On the pale horse, riding it with a death tacked to it, with a name tacked on him, Death, the Antichrist. Now here they are joining themselves together, coming to the showdown, and riding on a mixed colored horse. With one horse of white, one of red, one of black, three different political power, spiritual power, controlled by demon power, which is the Antichrist. Mixing it all together, you got a pale, sickly looking thing he's riding on. Look what he's riding on, this pale looking grizzle colored horse, mixed with black, red, and white. Coming into the battle, gathering his subjects from every nation under heaven. Now in Revelation 19, not only is he getting ready, but Christ is getting ready to meet him. The battle's gonna be hot and heavy. Revelation 19, Christ is gathering his, not from the four corners of the earth, because it's gonna be a little bit of render. But what's he doing? He's gathering them from the four corners of heaven. We'll get them souls on the altar tomorrow night and you'll see whether it's right or not. Four corners of heaven on a snow white horse. He also had a name, not death, but the word of God, life. Amen. God, it wrote right on his thigh here. The word of God, that's the only life, because God is the only source of eternal life there is. Zoe. Notice he said he's got it, wrote life, riding on a white horse. And here's a man with three different powers mixed up called death, gathering his earthbound delegates. And Christ is gathering his heaven-born subjects. He's got death wrote on him. Christ got life wrote on him. Both of them being heads of a kingdom. So if you got death wrote on you, then you know who your main man is, who your commander is. But if you got life wrote on you, it means you're on the white horse rider side. Oh, glory. Notice, those who are with him are on white horses also. And they are called the chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen. And the faithful to the word. Amen. Watch him. He's getting so excited about this. You ought to hear him say it. I like that one. Called before, chosen before the foundation of the world. And then faithful to the word by their choosing. Amen. To their choosing. All stimulated with new wine and oil. Just riding along, coming down to meet him. They know the thunders will issue the thing in, of course, pretty soon. Watch now. Here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth with his Protestants and with his Catholics. Satan ain't coming with God's Protestants or God's Catholics. Satan is coming with his Protestants and his Catholics. All together marching right up to the battle of Armageddon. And here comes Jesus coming down from heaven. Listen to this statement, friends. With resurrected saints, vindicated word. Resurrected saints, vindicated word. What is a vindicated word? Prove it. He said he would raise them, and here they are. That's the vindication. He said he'd give them a new body. There they are. As I said, if God speaks and sends you, He backs up what you say. See, notice, if you're an ambassador from heaven, all heaven's behind you. And all heaven is consisted of the word. Now notice, he's coming with resurrected saints, vindicating that his word is true. They are the vindication that the word is the truth. Glory to God. So Satan knows the bottomless pits is ready for him. See, oh my, while death rode on the pale horse, mixed creed and denomination, and followed him. The eternal separation from God. That's where he rode them, to eternal separation. Christ rode his church. Christ rode, oh my, his church right into glory in the resurrection. Christ rode his church right into glory in the resurrection. So God's fixing to spread a table. And he sends forth a messenger saying, come and die. Revelation 19:17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. That's one supper I don't want to be invited to. Because guess what? You are supper. Now notice, we just left supper and they're going to another one. But the one we left, we was not supper. The supper was on our behalf. But this supper's being called to feed their flesh to the fowls of the air. Oh my. Saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men. Now in this will be Russians and Americans and Palestinians and Islam and all the rest of the world, because they will have all gathered there against Israel. And when they do, it will initiate the command in heaven. And Jesus will say, are you ready, sweetheart? And she'll say, yes, Lord, we are ready. and he'll land down upon Mount Olives, and when he does, it'll split in half. And there are the Russians and the Americans and the Palestinians and whoever more. They'll be so under this anointing. They'll say, attack him, attack him. I say, yeah, come on. There will be, oh boy. Now Jesus says, charge! Glory to God, hallelujah! Lord Jesus. Verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now you imagine there will be right above, coming right out of the dimensions, hanging right above Jerusalem, wherever it will be, and they'll all be gathered down. That'll be the Russians and the Americans and whatever more, and there they'll see us up in the heavens. They'll so be under that anointing. They'll try to shoot at us. They'll try to fire their weapons at us. Don't you know you can't kill a glorified body? An atomic bomb can't blow up a man with no atoms. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire and burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. Now you have an option. The same sword of God that comes out of his mouth in this day can set you free from sin. Or it will kill you in that day. You bellyache and cry, oh, that's so hard, that's so hard, that's so hard. Which would you rather be? Cut loose and set free or killed by the word of God? Brother, if I'm going to deal with a sword, let it cut me loose from sin. Let it cut me loose from habits. Let it cut me loose from everything. Don't let that sword kill me. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Amen. Now remember, somewhere during this time frame, there will actually be atomic bombs that are being used. Of course, don't worry about it. Glorified bodies can't be affected by atomic bombs. Now watch this. Brother Bam tells us here in Victory Day, just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. Now remember, we cannot go into the millennium just by coming down and killing these people, but it must be purged because the millennium is the earth's sanctification. Right now the earth is still under the process of sanctification, so she receives a further cleansing before she receives her eighth day baptism in the final phase of it. But under the millennium, she is still under sanctifying process so she can be sanctified. That's why people can live on the earth in human mortal bodies that are not saved, and they can make their choice at the end of the millennium to go with the devil because it's still sanctification. Right? Watch this. She purifies herself with this atomic blowing. And the volcanic ash. Of course, by this time, America will then be destroyed. But somebody's going to have atomic warheads that will land toward Jerusalem. And it will only actually be used to further the program of God to get ready for the honeymoon. Now with that, it will no doubt cause such violent shaking on the earth that it will cause her to erupt from within. Now, many of you that understand a little bit about a seismology and the seismic movement in the earth and the plates and so on, that the pressure builds up in such a way, and it works on a certain frequency. A few years ago, they had a rock and roll concert out in California, and they had great big subwoofers, which is a low frequency that you and I hear on bass and all that, and stereo music and that sort of thing. And they had it so heavy in that rock and roll place that they actually caused a minor earthquake. And the epicenter of the earthquake was right near where that auditorium was, and they got to chasing it back and realizing that it was the frequency, the lower frequency, that was so deep that it caused the shaking in the earth. Now you can imagine when the atomic bombs go to blowing and exploding that the earth will begin to violently erupt. Oh my! A little bit like it was before the first Adam and Eve stepped out. Well, if another Adam and another Eve is fixing to step out, amen, the earth from within her soul will begin to purify herself. Notice she purifies herself with this atomic blowing and the volcanic ash, and things sink this soaked blood of men upon the earth, and sin and crime, she sinks beneath the earth, and the volcanic breaks out again and renews and cleanses the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live there, future home. While it's going on through the millennium, it's going through the sanctifying process, but it still must be burned. Now remember, this is not the new earth that Peter saw. This is a sanctified earth. Now, let's pick up on a wonderful part. From this point on, I am no longer responsible for my actions. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan. Now I want you to notice four different titles are given to this being. He's called the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan. But we see that he is a person. He's not an influence. He's actually a person. Now watch what's going to happen. This angel comes down with a key to the bottomless pit. Isn't it amazing that whenever war broke out in heaven, God sent to counteract this very same individual with armies. When he comes to annihilate him, or not annihilate him, but bring him to this spot, he comes with armies from heaven. But when he comes to put him in jail, he sends one angel. You know what that shows me? He could do it right now with one if he wanted to. He don't send tens of millions because the devil's going to be so wild and so rambunctious. He sends one angel with one key, with one chain to bind one devil. Oh, you talking about humiliation. You talking about embarrassment and shame as we stand there and watch him. And some of you are probably laughing at him the way you're laughing at him now. Except he won't be able to get even with you like he'll try to get even with you tomorrow for laughing at him tonight. Now notice, he laid hold, which is seize him by violence. The word denotes the employment of strength and force. And it implies that this angel had a superior power to that of the dragon. So whoever this angel is and wherever he was, no doubt he's always been. And God could have sent him if he'd wanted to defeat him in the first place. But this is his key time. Oh, glory. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And, oh, say it to me. Yes. That's what I wanted to hear. Bound him.
Now he which is led into captivity is going into captivity. He who said he was the king of the earth, he who said he'd do this and that, is led by one angel and bound for 1,000 years.
Whew. Glory to God. Watch this in Future Home. Brother Ben says, the millennium is merely the honeymoon. So you can imagine Jesus in his great plans, thinking in his mind, oh, my earthly bride, she so loved the earth. I could make heaven here where we could spend our honeymoon up here. But she's of an earthly origin in her body. And, oh yes, there's a couple of other things that I must fulfill. Because I told David thousands of years ago, by the fruit of thy body will I sit on thy throne. Watch this. The millennium is merely the honeymoon. Then she, the bridegroom, takes his bride home. It's hers. Her bridegroom. His bride. He's going to prepare a house since he's become engaged. Oh, Jesus. One great morning, the break of the millennium, the honeymoon will start. And the rest of the day, live not till the end of the 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, there was a judgment showing that Ham was in the ark. And Ham is still there in the remnant. Once it heard it and rejected it, will have to be judged. They'll be carried over even in the millennium. Notice this now. We see them when the last of Israel have been joined to the love of the Lord and the enemy has been destroyed. God will prepare his holy mountain, his new Garden of Eden, for the bride and his and her attendants for the 1,000-year honeymoon upon the earth. As Adam and Eve were in the garden and did not finish out. Remember, man was made on the 6th day, or the 6,000 increment of time of creation. Then God rested. God entered into Shabbat. Sabbath, 7th day, and God sanctified the 7th day, and God blessed the 7th day, and God had entered into the millennium. But his son's fall brought God out of the millennium and put the millennium on hold. Well, you say, couldn't he have lived it without us? Who in his right mind would go on a honeymoon without his wife? If you would, you shouldn't have married her. She's that kind of woman. You're that kind of a man. What kind of honeymoon would it have been with Adam on the outside? Glory to God! It would not have been a honeymoon, Brother Dale. It would not have been a Sabbath day. So God says, I'll come out of my own day of rest. And the prophet said when he drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he will not with them. Why? It wasn't the same without them being there. Can't you see he don't want you just to be there for your sake? He wants you to be there for his sake too. So the millennium stopped. Notice. As Adam and Eve were in the garden and did not finish out the 1,000 years. Now Jesus, our last Adam, and his Eve, the true church, will fulfill all the plan of God. Can't you see why we don't go from the number 6 to the number 8? Why not go straight from the tribulation period, the marriage supper? You know, why not jump straight from there to 8? Didn't you learn to count in school? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's not 6, 8. We got to have the millennium in there. 7 has got to be lived out. 7 has got to be fulfilled. 7 has got to be completed. Then God can put the millennium to rest. It would be unbecoming to his nature to put the millennium on hold and then took us straight from the 6th day over into the 8th day. Oh, thank you, Father, for such a plan. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. I like doing that now every now and then myself. I may not have the key to the pit, but I do have the key to that pit, his mouth. Come on, saints. You take that word, you can shut him up. Sure you can. Oh, he keeps talking about it, but you've got that word at your disposal. Fight right back at him and tell him to shut up and leave you alone. Shut him up. So he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. Then John changes from the bottomless pit. Imagine in the vision now. He sees this being, this creature of sin. And then John is elevated in the vision. And he goes from a pit to thrones. Well, that's pretty fitting for me. That's pretty fitting for you. That's where I was. In a pit in the mire of the world. Jesus said, get your eyes off that pit and come up here with me. You're going to rule with me. You're going to reign with me. So here in the vision, now John moves and he moves beyond the vision of the pit. And he says, I saw thrones. Three? Was it a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost? Or how many gods have we got there? Well, notice what John is seeing. A kingdom age. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned. We're not just going to live with Christ. We are going to reign. Notice this in Genesis chapter 2 verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. But notice, in the millennium, it'll be the bride's seventh day of rest. For 6,000 years, we labored against Satan. We labored against sin. We labored and we stood for the truth. And many of them that arraigned lost their lives. They were beheaded. They were crucified. They were nailed on crosses. They give their lives for the gospel. But now the bride must share her seventh day of rest. She will rest. Oh. Notice this in question and answer. Brother Ben said, God made the world in 6,000 years, and the 7,000th he rested. And he said, a man will never live that time out, a year or a day, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived in the Bible. 969 years old. And he never lived that 1,000 years. But the man that's going to live through the millennium, the 1,000 years, to show that the penalty has been paid. Man lives forever. The day is finished. Time is finished. They're in eternity. So the seventh day must be finished, not skipped, not jumped over. The seventh day, the millennium, must be finished. Amen. But also there's another reason why the millennium must be. God gave the promise to Abraham, verified it to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses, to the children of Israel. Boundaries of their land of inheritance. They never, to this day, ever obtained every square inch of that ground. But that don't really matter to God. Because when God says a promise, it will be fulfilled. It may be 5,000 years later, 6,000 years, 175,000 years, but if it ever goes out of God's mouth, it will come to pass. Notice this in Exodus 23:30. By little and little I will drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. The great river, of course. The Euphrates. Iraq. Move over, President Amdadabdadubdadab, or whatever your name is. Israel's coming through shortly. Woo! Glory! We are coming through to take over! Notice Numbers 34:2, command the children of Israel, saying to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coast thereof. Your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the coast of Edom. And your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akabim, and pass on to Zin, and going forth therefore shall be the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazardar, and pass on to Asmon. They never obtained this property under Saul, under David, under Solomon, under no other king. But they will under King Jesus. I never received my full inheritance as a Pentecostal. I never received it as a Trinitarian. I never received it as a oneness. I never received it when I first heard that God sent a prophet. But after I begin to realize what this message is all about, my boundaries is enlarging. Amen. I'm going to the great river. I'm going to the wilderness of Zin. I'm going to Kadesh Barnea. I'm going the whole thing. Man, I want every square inch of ground that belongs to me. I want every promise. I don't care if folks think I'm crazy. If they think I'm nuts, I want my property now. Glory! And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt. Some of the country that's in dispute today. Oh, the Palestinians, as this president from Iran said, Israel wasn't even there until 1948. Reminds me of the devil telling me that you got eternal life and that you'd come to the altar. Come on! There was one great famous Jew, which was a politician, met with some of the Palestinians. Said, you heard the story, didn't you, of Moses going down to the Red Sea to take a bath? And when he did, a Palestinian came up and stole his robe. The Palestinian said, there was no Palestinians there when Moses was there. He said, point given, point received. Glory, there were no Palestinians there. It's only a political ploy. It's only a hand of the devil, just like he tries to keep you from your inheritance. He tries to use Palestinians in your life. But brother, sister, you better get out your armor and go to taking what rightly belongs to you as a child of God. Let me close. Let's skip down a few verses there, Brother Eric, to Psalms 2. The millennium government will be a divine monarchy. There won't be a Senate, won't be a Congress, won't be a president, alderman. No. God's way is a godly king. And the government, you must have a government now, because remember, you've not only got saints and glorified bodies, but you've got humans that are not yet converted, thousands of them. So there must be a government, and it will be a divine monarchy. Psalms 2:6, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said it unto me,
Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, God. Watch God. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Psalms 132:11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Notice how it comes to pass. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know how there'll be a bride there? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Glory to God. You know how Abraham will be there, and Isaac will be there, and Peter will be there, and you'll be there, and you'll be there, and whoever more. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going home to come back to home, to go back to home, to come back to home. Does that make sense? I'm going home. Home to where I originated. But I'm coming back to home where I originated. I'll be here for 1,000 years, and then I'll be caught up off this while it's getting its Holy Ghost. Because it throwed a fit when it was baptized under Noah. It's really going to throw a fit when it gets the Holy Ghost. Glory! Then the earth shake and have all kinds of, you know, sanctification symptoms of the Methodists when the blood of Jesus dripped on it. Come on! The earth acted like a real Methodist. It shouted. Brother, when it gets the Holy Ghost, it's really going to carry on. Then I'll come back home. And forever, this is where we'll be. I'm bound for that beautiful city. And I, John, saw the new city, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. It's got gates of pearl. Doesn't it? Gates of pearl. Gates of pearl. Wonder why? Pearl, whether man-made or natural-made in the waters, comes from, as you know, an irritant in this little tiny animal shell. Piece of sand, tiny gravel, piece of glass, something. It gets it inside that shell. It becomes so uncomfortable. Begins to secrete this mucus from its body. And it forms this pearl. Through labor, through trial, through difficulty, the pearl is made. The entrance to your city, the very gates themselves, you walk through irritants, reminders on the earth. Remember the pearly white line that Brother Brown talked about? The little bride was walking up that pearly white line. The pearly white line ends at a pearly white gate. Glory. So apparently pearls run in your family. So guess what? There's going to be a lot of irritants for you in life. But God will help you to produce a pearly character. So that when you walk through those gates, you'll be so fitted to where you're going. The pavement that you walk on, the gold, everything in that city will testify of God's greatness towards you. Praise God. You love Him, children. You know, the disadvantage, if I can say it that way, of hearing these things is, I want to go now. I don't want to go back home tonight. I want to go home tonight. I don't want to go back home to 209 Quail Run Court. I want to go home. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful promises, Lord. We believe them tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray you would encourage those that might be down or weary tonight, those that might be sick on their journey, these soldiers that are fighting different battles. We don't want to sit down to the table that day beside all those battle-scarred soldiers and us sitting there with nothing on us. We're not going out looking to be a martyr or looking for trouble. We know being a Christian, we'll have it. But yet, Father, when you beckon us, I don't want you to look around at the marriage supper that day and say, Donnie, you're such a coward. Why don't you just sit up here and all the rest of us go down and we'll call for you and the fighting's over. Lord, you know me. You know me. I don't like war. I hate it. I hate fighting. I hate controversy. But when my King's name and His honor and His word is brought into question, I will draw my sword. I'm a peace-loving man. But when your defense is required, I will say as the Song of Solomon, stir not up nor awake my love till He please. You could not lay your lap in a more safe place than the lap of your bride. Unlike the lap of Delilah, when Samson woke up with his hair gone, his secret exploited, you can lay your head in the lap of your beloved. She will be your protector on the earth, Lord God. She'll stand for you. Mama turns against her. Daddy turns against her. Whoever. She'll give her life to defend your cause. You know that's, Lord. It's been proven. May we be the same way. I don't desire to be a great person, an important person. I just want to be a person who you love and who loves you back, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Go with your children now, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Father, for this service tonight. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for His own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I feel homesick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city. Once again, before you go, oh, I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for His own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend. Go in the fear of God.